I'll be reading verses 22 to 25. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 22. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we look at your word this morning, may you open our ears and our hearts to what you would have us to learn. Lord, be with my words. May they be true to yours. And Lord, as we come before you, help us to rest in you, to trust in you, to believe in what you have done, and to put it into practice in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I missed you all last week. I don't know if the feeling's mutual or not, but there's something missing when you don't gather together as God's people. Now, I did, but in a different place, and I wasn't real familiar with those people. I had a wonderful time. I was able to go snowshoeing on the Appalachian Trail and do things like that that... We're not real close to the Appalachian Trail here, so it'd be sort of difficult. But I missed you. It's hard to be away from people that you love. It's hard to be away from people that you care about. It's even harder when you start hearing stories that there might be some problems with the people that you are away from. And that's the situation that we find with the writer of Hebrews. He has a connection with these people. We don't really know what connection there was. Maybe he's a former pastor. Maybe he was the evangelist that began the church. We're not sure where he's coming from, but we know that he has a connection with these people. He had ties to them. And he also had concerns that he addressed in this word of exhortation. Now, the word of exhortation is often used as a sermon. So I am giving you a word of exhortation today. Here, the writer was away from these people, so he sends his word of exhortation probably to be read in the church. Now, if you read through the book of Hebrews, depending on how fast you read, but if you read it orally, it'll probably take about an hour to read. I am not gifted enough to preach for an hour. If you want me to try, I'd be happy to do that sometime. But I think people would tend to fall asleep. But this book is packed full of stuff. It's packed full of exhortation. It's packed full of encouragement. It is packed full of the things that these people needed to hear. And the writer sends this to them, probably to be read in their church service for about an hour, and then passed along to the other, most likely, house churches in that particular city. So these greetings are sent from one place to another. But it is a word of exhortation. It's a written sermon and probably passed along so that all the people in that area could read it. Now, the word of exhortation, what does he mean by that? Well, probably just referring to a sermon, but he uses a very important word that you've heard from me a number of times and probably from other people too. Using the Greek words, first he uses the verb and then he uses the noun, and I'll read that verse 22 again. I parakaleo, you brothers... Okay, I appeal to you, brothers. I urge you, brothers. I encourage you, brothers. I exhort you, brothers. I parakaleo you, brothers. Bear with my word of paraklesis. Same word, one a verb and one a noun. But bear with my word of paraklesis, my word of exhortation, my word of encouragement. For I have written to you briefly. Of course, parakaleo is the root of it, just means to be called alongside. So in the Septuagint, it often translates words that mean comfort or having compassion, caring for others. So as it comes into the New Testament, that idea is there, being called alongside to help, to comfort, to encourage. Now the Greeks used it more in that sense of exhortation, a little bit harder sense, if you will. But the Hebrews and these people to whom the writer is sending this message understand the word having that sense of comfort, compassion, encouragement. That comes in as this word is used by John. As Jesus says, he's sending another paraclete, another comforter, as he talks about sending the Holy Spirit. So the writer of Hebrews, thoroughly versed in the Septuagint, is probably using the word in that sense of not just exhortation, but also encouragement, being called alongside to help, that sense of encouragement. He uses it a number of times, Hebrews 3:13, but I exhort or encourage one another every day, but exhort or encourage one another every day, as long as it's still called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's something we're all to do to one another. We're to encourage each other. We're to exhort one another. We're to look at each other and say, are we living the way that God wants us to live? And we're to do that together. We're called alongside one another to do that together. Are you caring for those who are around you? Do you meet with them? Do you talk with them? Do you share with them? Do you encourage them? Do you exhort them? Encourage one another every day, as long as it is still called today. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, parakaleo, one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. He uses it again in Hebrews 13:19 for urging, encouraging the people to pray for him that he might come soon to them. The noun, the second word that's used there, my word of paraklesis, the word of exhortation. The noun's used in Hebrews 6:18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. He uses that sense of that word of exhortation to be encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. And in Hebrews 12:5, he uses it again. Have you forgotten the exhortation, encouragement, that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. That's a strong message from this book. Don't regard lightly the discipline of your Lord. Have you forgotten that encouragement, that exhortation? Because discipline should be a part of our lives. We should see how God is disciplining us, how God is changing us, how God is using the circumstances and the people and all of those things around us to make us more like Him, to make us more righteous, to make us focus our attention on the things that we should focus on. He encourages these people to do that. Now, that's not to say that we also aren't called to be a little harder on people. Sometimes if someone's doing something wrong, we are called to admonish them. Usually that uses, now the writer of Hebrews doesn't use this word, but nutheteo, and where we get nuthetic counseling from, is a little bit stronger word in terms of the admonishment. So it's usually translated admonish in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-14, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you or lead you in the Lord and admonish you. So, as your elders might come to you and say, you know, this part of your life, you need to work on that a little bit. Be encouraged by that. Realize that they're called to admonish you in those areas where you need to. And then he says, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle. Again, that stronger word. If someone's just not doing anything, whether it's not doing any work, don't let them eat, or whether it's someone who's not doing anything to serve their Lord, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. He says in Colossians 1:28, Paul says in Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, Jesus we proclaim, warning or admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And another thing that we do every week, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, from Colossians 3:16. So the writer of Hebrews doesn't use that word nutheteo, but it's not something that's adverse to the writers of Scripture. But he does use parakaleo. He uses it as strong as it is in terms of both being called alongside and then exhorting people to do as they ought. In this word of exhortation or encouragement, the writer has dealt with many hard things. He's dealt very specifically with an understanding of who Christ is and what he did. What did Christ come to do? Well, don't worship angels because Christ is over the angels. Don't worship Moses because Christ came to fulfill all that Moses said. Don't go back to the sacrifices because all of the sacrifices, all of the things of the Old Testament have been fulfilled in what Jesus did in dying for us on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins. All of that stuff has been fulfilled in Christ. His word of exhortation, his word of encouragement displays who Christ is and what he has done for us. It's also a call to perseverance in persecution. These people were probably under persecution, or they soon would be. And he calls them to persevere through that and to understand it in the sense of how God works in us, works with us, and disciplines us as his sons. He's talking to them about drawing near to the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus Christ has gone before us and he sits there as our mediator, as the one who understands our weaknesses and can help us when we need help. Draw near to the throne of grace. He's given us warnings about just sitting in a pew, tasting the things that God has for his people, but never taking them to heart. He was very clear in that warning. He also said that he knows something better in terms of them, that they're not just sitting there, but he's encouraging them to make sure they're doing the things that God has desired, that they've really taken in the truth of the gospel and are displaying that in our lives. He's called them to be teachers and not just babes who need milk. He's called them to look to the solid food, to become teachers to go out and declare the gospel. Like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's called them to go out and proclaim the gospel to all who will hear. They know who Christ is. They can teach others who Christ is. You know who Christ is. You can teach others who Christ is. He's called them to faith. He's called them to see discipline as the work of God in their lives, treating them as sons. He's called them to have that hope set before them that won't disappoint. And he's called them to love each other. And so he says, I encourage you, bear with my word of encouragement, for I have written to you briefly. He's encouraging them in this letter. It's a lot of hard stuff. A lot of meat of the word. He encourages them to take that and to apply it to their lives. Bear with my word of encouragement. Then he goes on in verse 23 and 24 to greet, send greetings. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Timothy is probably the same Timothy that was, Paul calls, a son of the faith. And so Timothy probably had something to do with these churches as well. We don't see anywhere else in Scripture that Timothy is in prison, but that seems to be the case here. He has been released, probably having been in jail. And these people know him, and the writer is hoping that he can come, Timothy comes soon enough that he can get together with him and then come and meet these people. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. He's talked about the leaders. This is the third time he's talked about leaders. First time he talked about the leaders probably that have already passed on, either been persecuted to the point of death or have lived their lives here on earth and have gone to be with the Lord. But the second two times, he's talking about the leaders that are there now, most likely the leaders of each house church in that particular area. And greet all the saints, all the holy ones, all the ones who have been made righteous by trusting in the shed blood of Christ. All of the saints. Realize that you're all saints. If you're trusting in what Jesus Christ has done, you've been made holy, you've been set apart by God. And so he tells them to greet all the leaders and all the saints. And then he sends greetings from those from Italy. Who come from Italy send you greetings. Now, this could either be, depending on who he's writing to, it could either be that he's writing from Italy and there are a bunch of people around him and they want to send their greetings, so he puts that in. Or it could be that he's somewhere else writing to people who are in Italy and their friends that have gone to wherever they are, wherever he is, send their greetings back to Italy. So it could go one way or another, so it doesn't really determine for us who this letter is being sent to. But he sends greetings. He knows these people. He has a concern for these people. He has a love for these people, and that's why he's writing. And so he sends them greetings. And then he closes with grace. Grace be with you all. Grace be with you all. Such a simple closing. Grace be with you all. I had the pleasure of going to a basketball game Friday night. And you know I'm a Syracuse fan because I went to Syracuse, but this didn't happen to be a Syracuse game. This was a game where Sam and Manny were playing down in Honey Oil Falls. And what struck me was just the joy that I could see there on that court. Now, these guys aren't making millions of dollars, and they're not making millions of dollars for their school, like the Syracuse players and the pros. But they were having fun, weren't you guys? They were having fun. doing something that they love doing. And when Sam ran down the court with the ball and put it up and made a layup without dribbling first, he had a great time doing it. And everyone cheered. Grace be with you all. You know, sometimes we get all concerned about this or that theological thing. Doctrine is great. But if you're so into doctrine that you lose that sense of God's grace, then your doctrine's not in the right place. Grace be with you all. As we study the Scriptures, I love opening the Scriptures with people. I just enjoy doing that. I hope you do too. If you ever want to invite me over to open God's Word and look at it, I'm very happy to come. We need to have that sense of joy, though. You know, as I watched Sam and Manny play, there was a joy there in playing the game of basketball that you don't often see. Now, I couldn't catch the game, the Syracuse game yesterday. I heard it went pretty badly. And I don't think those players had much joy as they were losing that game. Sam and Manny didn't really care if they won or lost. They were having a great time doing what they were doing. God has taken us out of the world. He's separated us to Himself. He's made us saints. Each of you who trusts in Jesus Christ has been made a saint. You've been separated out from the world. You've been separated out to live for God. Live in His grace. Have that wonder, that joy that comes from knowing the true God, the God of grace. Trust Him. Believe Him. Take this word of encouragement, this word of exhortation, and apply it to your lives. And end it with, grace be with you all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. Enable us to have that joy that comes from knowing who You are and the wonder of Your grace. We thank You that we can look at this word of exhortation, that we can see the great meaning that's here, the great doctrine that's here, that we can apply it to our lives and we can see how You are working in us, disciplining us, so that we become more and more like You, so that we have that peaceful fruit of righteousness being displayed in our lives. Lord, help us to always remember Your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.